Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. The conference call will begin momentarily. Thank you for your patience. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Floyd Mayweather conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, there will be an opportunity for questions and comments. Instructions will be given at that time. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to our host, Kelly Swanson. Kelly, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We are promoting the moment, and we've had so many great moments promoting the moment throughout our time leading up to the fight. I find this call to be one of our special moments because we have none other than the pound-for-pound king, Floyd Money Mayweather, available to talk to you today. He, of course, is a 10-time, five-division world champ and the current WBC welterweight world champion. Quick house cleaning note, you will be receiving your fight week schedule very shortly, and it will give you all the details for what's to come next week as we prepare for the fight week of the May 3rd bout. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Leonard Ellerbe, Chief Executive Officer of Mayweather Promotions, to make the introductions. Leonard?
Thank you, Kelly. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on the call today. We're close. We're just 10 days away from the moment. Will this be the moment that Maidana shocks the world and becomes victorious? We just have to see. Will this be the moment that the first time that Maidana gets stopped? We have to just wait and see. Obviously, this fight will be brought to us by none other than Showtime pay-per-view. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce the man who controls and runs everything at Showtime, none other than the Executive Vice President and General Manager of Showtime Sports, Stephen Espinosa.
Thanks very much, Leonard. Just a couple of programming notes before I turn it back over to Leonard and to Floyd. We will be premiering Episode 2 of All Access this weekend, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern, immediately preceding our three-fight heavy hitters card. If you missed Episode 1, it's available just about everywhere from the Showtime website to on demand anytime and YouTube and virtually everywhere else. We were also well into our pre-fight programming, so on Showtime On Demand and Showtime Anytime, as well as many other places, we are already featuring classic Mayweather fights, classic Maidana fights, not to mention, you know, many of the undercard fighters from, you know, Jay Leon to Adrian to Amir. But I know you are all anxious to hear from the champ, so I'll turn it back over to you, Leonard, and I will see you all next week.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. So without further ado, TBE, none other than the man himself.
Hey, how y'all doing? I want to thank everybody. First, I want to thank Stephen Espinosa. I want to thank Showtime. I want to thank CBS. I want to thank Leonard Ellerbe. I want to thank Al Heyman. I want to thank Richard Schaefer. I want to thank Kelly Swanson. I want to thank everybody, all the networks and all the people that's covering this fight, and all the people that's covered my fight throughout the years. I want to thank you guys and tell. I just want to say I really, really appreciate you and everybody that's a part of the event that helped us get this event started. The moment they're all thankful. So I couldn't choose a better team because we work as one. I couldn't choose a better team than May 3rd. The moment I know Maidana is going to come and bring his best. So this is a guy I know that I cannot overlook. So I'm in training every day, dedicating myself and. I'm ready to move on with the conference. Let's go.
Thank you. Okay, go, operator, go ahead with the questions, please.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from John Elligan with New York Times. John?
Hi. This question is for both Floyd and Leonard. Obviously, it's an amazing card to run. I think a lot of people haven't seen a card this fast in a long time. I mean, what does that mean about what you've done in terms of fast painting and promotion that you all are able to put together such an amazing card from top to bottom?
Well, I'll since Leonard's the CEO of Mayweather Promotions, I'll let him answer the question. Let him answer the question, please.
Yes, the card from top to bottom is stacked. We felt as though that the fans, it's all about giving the fans the value for their money. And that's what Mayweather Promotions and Golden Boy Promotions is about when we're putting on these major events.
Hey, and I have a follow-up for you, Floyd. You know, obviously, throughout, you know, all the changes and whatnot throughout your career from back and forth, you know, one of the cons has been having Leonard there at your side and, you know, helping out and whatnot. Can you just talk about, you know, your relationship with Leonard and why that has been so special and so stable over the years?
Well, you know, this is something that a lot of people don't know. You know, let me kind of enlighten people on the story with Leonard Ellerbe. Now, Leonard Ellerbe had a great-paying job in in D.C., in the D.C., that he's from D.C., in D.C., had a good-paying job. And people don't know how Leonard got with me. Leonard came out here. Leonard used to go on trips, used to pay his own way to go on trips with us and just help out. And he used to leave his job. Yeah, I mean, he'd leave his job and fly, spend his own money because he had a six-figure paying job. He also was a fitness trainer. He's also, you know, a fitness trainer. He had another job, so he's making very, very good money. He left all that to pay his own way to come support me. He was just a supporter of me. And then at one particular time, he was doing security work for me. He was doing everything. He was making sure I got up to do my runs. He was doing security work for me. And everything, and all he was making was it wasn't no big money, because I mean I was making good money, but I wasn't paying him what I feel like I should have been paying him. But you know, at times has changed. He stuck with me through thick and thin. We've been through a lot together. He stuck with me through everything. And you know, I'm happy to say, you know, he's a multi-millionaire now. So I feel like, you know, it was worth it. You know, the wait was worth it. And we go through a lot. A lot of times people don't see we go through a lot. I mean, because you know, we strive for the best. You know, we strive for the best. But at the end of the day, it's about communication. And one thing that we can do, I respect him as a man. He respect me as a man, and we can communicate. And I will always love Leonard Ellerbe. He's doing a tremendous job.
If I could make one addition, this is Stephen. Back to your first question. You know, there are some things that Floyd and Leonard are, you know, are actually, I think, a little too modest about. So I'll go ahead and voice this for them. You know, as you've heard from Richard and Leonard in the past, this is the most expensive undercard, you know, in the history of pay-per-view undercards. And to be more specific, that is an investment by Floyd and by Mayweather Promotions. So all credit goes to him for investing, you know, not just in this event, but in investing in the growth of the sport. Because from the network perspective, you know, it is only through events of this magnitude that we really grow to the casual fans, which is really, when we talk about appeal to the casual fans, really Floyd is head and shoulders above everyone else. This is not a card that we needed to support this event. This was something that, you know, that Mayweather Promotions went above and beyond to do and took money out of their pocket to do so. And I think that needs to be recognized as an investment in the sport.
Okay, we'll take our next question. This comes from Dan Raphael at ESPN. Dan?
Thank you very much. Hello, Floyd and Leonard. How are you guys?
Hey, how you doing, Dan?
Everything is good, thank you. Floyd, what I want to ask you about when you prepare for this fight, I know you always talk about how, you know, you leave it up to either your dad or to Roger to look at the video, and, you know, you basically listen to what the game plan is. But I'm wondering, in the conversations when you have been devising the game plan to take on Marcus Maidana, if you or your team feel as though it was really Devin Alexander that laid down the blueprint to defeat somebody like Marcus Maidana, where Devin was able to take away the power and shut him out in over a 10-round decision. And, you know, we know that Devin's an excellent boxer, but you are, you know, the consummate boxer.
Well, I think that, you know, what's different is Maidana, he may not be accustomed to fighting southpaw, so that could have played a major key into his fight with Devin Alexander. And also, he's fighting on Alexander's turf, and he was, you know, and I think that the difference between me and Alexander, he's a more straight up boxer. I think he's a more straight up boxer. But I think with Maidana facing me, his confidence is built after he beat Adrian Broner, because he feels that both of the styles are very, very similar. So he's like, this style probably it's probably the same style. So, you know, we just don't know how the fight's going to play out. But I think he's more confident than he was. I think he's more confident now than he was when he faced the kid from St. Louis, Devin Alexander. I think he's more confident now. So I think he's more rugged and more tough. I mean, he's more confident and more. So if you're more confident, it's going to make you fight more harder.
So let me ask you this, Floyd, then. On the night that he fought Alexander, you know, let's be honest, he got shut out. He looked terrible. On the night that he dropped Adrian twice and won his belt and looked excellent in that win, is he as good as he was against Broner? Is he as bad as he was against Alexander? Or is he really average in between there somewhere?
I can't really say. But, you know, one thing, you know, that I did notice, you know, I look at a lot of things. You know, I don't have anything against anyone, but I noticed that when the guy Ariza was in Amir Khan corner when he faced Maidana, Amir Khan looked at super, super strong in that fight. But then you go back and look at I'll go look at Maidana fights against just certain guys, like when he fought Alexander. He was strong. He was still coming ahead because he's the type of guy that comes straight ahead and like the loop shots. He wasn't as strong as he was in the Adrian Broner fight. In the Adrian Broner fight, he was a lot stronger than he was in a lot of his past fights. So, you know, I don't know if Ariza plays a major role into that because when I sit back and I look, I was looking at Pacquiao versus Bradley. And I noticed ever since Ariza has not been with Pacquiao anymore, there's been a total change in his power. So, you know, I look at things like that, and I question things like that to myself. But, you know, I don't worry about anything, and I'm not saying nothing about Ariza because I think, you know, he's a pretty cool guy. I don't really know him. But, you know, we've got USADA, which is the best, you know, which is the best in the world, and we're going to continue to go out there and do what we're supposed to do.
All right, thank you, Floyd.
And to touch on what Floyd just said, I have done firsthand information in the Maidana Alexander fight. He was asked to pull out the fight because he was very, very sick.
Marcos Maidana was.
Yes, he was very, very sick right before the Alexander fight, and he was asked to pull out, but he refused to. He's not one, obviously, to make any excuses, but the facts are what the facts are.
Understood. Floyd, you brought up, you mentioned the Pacquiao and Bradley fight that you did you watch the fight? And I'm curious your thoughts on, Pacquiao's performance.
Yes, actually, I did watch the fight. You know, I haven't seen Pacquiao fight in years. You know, I've seen highlights, but I haven't seen Pacquiao fight probably I haven't seen Pacquiao fight since he fought Miguel Cotto.
And what did you
think? I haven't seen it. I thought that, congratulations. He was a better man, but I think first Bradley, I think that whoever he's working out with, they have to make a lot of changes because he's lifting too many weights. He's lifting too many weights. I think he's more worried about how he looked when he get on the scale instead of how he performed inside that ring. I thought that Bradley went out there and fought his heart out, but I think that he was throwing a lot of shots like an amateur. I think he was making a lot of mistakes, and he was very, very fatigued early on. And I think that he was making a lot of mistakes, falling off balance, and fighting like amateurs. I think both fighters fought like amateurs. I thought Pacquiao fought like an amateur also, and I wasn't pleased with his performance. But you know, he got the victory the best way he knew how. But I wasn't pleased with his performance at all. I'm seeing something totally different in Pacquiao. But still, you know, that don't make me say, yeah, I'm ready. I'm gonna go out there and fight him because he's with Bob Arum and I'm with Mayweather Promotions. But also, what's crazy is this, you know, a story. You know, like you know, I know people, we all really fight hype. So Fight Hype had a story out that I was looking at that was very, very interesting. When I guess Freddie Roach, you know, Freddie Roach, you go read the story when Freddie Roach was saying that he didn't know what Alex Ariza was giving his fighter. You know, he didn't know what he was giving his fighter. So go read the the Fight Hype article. Pull it up. You know, that was kind of crazy when I heard that. But like I said before, I don't see the same popping Pacquiao shots. Me myself, once again, I'm not saying this guy is doing anything, but I don't see the same snap in his shots. He's getting tired, and he wasn't getting tired before. So, I mean, I'm seeing something totally different. Whereas at me, I'm still sharp. I'm still smart. I'm not getting fatigued. I wasn't getting fatigued from the beginning. And those are the things that I see. I can't say I don't know if you guys see it, but that's what I see.
All right, Floyd, thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you next week. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Gordon Moreno at the Wall Street Journal. Gordon?
Yeah. Well, Floyd and Leonard, thanks for taking my call. Floyd, you've often said that timing is everything in boxing and life. And I'm wondering, at this time in your boxing career, what is most important to you, your legacy or business or what?
A little bit of both, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, I want my name to go down in history as the best. But, you know, just making smart business moves can be very, very lucrative. Of course, building your portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what fights do you feel like so far define your legacy the most, Floyd?
I can't really say. I really don't know. I've been in so many, career-defining fights. I can't really choose one particular one. But, all of them, played a major role. I played a major key.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm where I'm at today.
Okay. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you next week.
All right.
Our next question is from Lem Satterfield with The Ring.
Hey, Floyd, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm blessed. I'm doing well. I saw you referenced Fight Hype. I saw a video that you had on there from yesterday's workout where you briefly stated that you're going to stand in front of Maidana. I'm assuming you're saying you're going to stay in the pocket and be right there. Can you kind of characterize what's going to happen? And also, how big are body shots going to be in this fight? Because body shot is what Khan dropped him with in the first round.
My focus is, I'm pretty sure he's going to be well-rounded and ready for this fight. Whereas, because this is at a total different level. So I think, I can't just go in there just looking for just to go to the body. Amir Khan, the guy could have been doing, a lot of sit-ups. He's going to be getting his body in tip-top condition and tip-top shape. Amir Khan could have just, caught him with a good shot. I mean, my body is in very, very good condition, but sometimes a guy can hit me with a good shot and I can feel it. But, we don't know how we're going to approach the fight. Is we're going to take our time and go out there. And if a guy leaves an opening on his face, we're going to take it. If he leaves an opening on his body, we're going to take it. But we can't just say we're going to go in and just try to go to, everything is going to the body. We're going to take our time and pick the guy apart.
But you are going to be kind of staying in the pocket. Is that what you meant when you said that?
We must realize that I am the bigger guy, even though, I walk around at 150. I don't go no higher than 152. I'm naturally the bigger guy because, I've been at 147 almost 10 years now. So, I'm naturally the bigger guy. So, I think that, my dad's going to, I think the game plan is to sit in the pocket. Make the guy miss and make the guy pay.
Okay. Zab Judah explained to us one time that he felt like you can see the shots coming. You're standing there, you're watching the guy's body, and unlike most fighters, you can read a body and almost anticipate or see the punch coming ahead of time. Can you just kind of describe what you see from your vantage point and what you examine in a fight?
Well, I can see shots. Actually, I can see shots coming from. I mean, I can feel a guy when he's in the punch. I can feel it. I don't even have to see it. I can feel it. This is with experience and just being around the sport so long. I can just feel a guy when he's in the shoot a shot. But a lot of times, guys telegraph and tell their body language tell what shots they're gonna shoot because how they position themselves. So, when a guy positions himself in a certain way, what shot he's going to throw. But my thing is, whatever a guy best attribute is, whatever he does best, my goal is to take that away from him and make him resort to doing something else.
Mm-hmm. What does Maidana do best?
Say it again.
What does Madonna do best?
Well, it's obvious he punched extremely hard if he got an 80% knockout ratio.
Right.
So it's obvious that's the best attribute. But you know, but a lot of times, you know, when a guy's swinging a lot of big shots and they're not landing, you get fatigued like that.
A last question for you is you and Al Haymon will be honored 2 days before your fight as, you know, fighter of the year and manager of the year. Can you characterize your relationship with him and what that means to you to be honored like that?
Oh, man, you know, I mean, it's always, like I said before, it's a huge honor. You know, I'm very, very thankful, very, very blessed, and everybody that, you know, that voted for me, I mean, all the media, all the people, all the different, you know, social outlets, different social sites, you know, I'm just thankful, you know, but I didn't do it by myself. Everybody that's on this conference call, you know, played a major role in with helping me and helping Al.
Okay, thanks a lot, Floyd. See you next week.
I'll see you next week.
Our next question is from Mike Woods at Sweet Science. Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the time to do the call. This question is for Floyd. Floyd, a lot of people have been saying they think that Madonna is maybe the hardest puncher that you've been in with. I'm wondering if you agree with that. Do you think Madonna is the hardest puncher that you've been in with?
Well, I can't really say. I haven't been hit by Madonna yet, so I can't really say. I may be the hardest puncher he ever fought. He hasn't been hit by me yet. So we'll just have to see if he's the hardest puncher.
I see that this guy is not going to be able to outbox you. No one has been able to outbox you. I see that power might be his only way to beat you. I'm just wondering, how many instances have you actually even just been hurt in a fight? I remember Mosley buzzed you pretty good. How many other people have you been hurt in a fight?
I'm not really sure, but, you know, you get hit with good shots sometimes. But, you know, any true champion, just shake it off and, you know, and keep fighting. You know, that's a part of the fight, Danny.
Yeah, I don't remember other than Mosley off the top of my head. I'm sure other people with better memories do, but it seems to me that the only way to beat you from this guy is power. Do you see him being able to outbox you for 12 rounds?
I mean, when he was able to, I mean, Adrian Broner is a good boxer, and he roughed Adrian Broner up, and he got the victory. So, well, no, we can't say what this guy, what he can or he can't do. You know, we cannot overlook this guy. You know, I can't just say, oh, he's just going to be an easy fight, because it's not going to be an easy fight for me. I don't think so. You know, mm-hmm. So what I got to do is, you know, I got to make sure that I'm at my best. So, May 3rd, I got to go out there and take my time, keep my composure, and be me. Everybody thinks he's just going to be a pushover, but I don't think so. So that's why I'm training hard and I'm pushing myself to the limit every day.
All right, I'll see you out there. Thanks for taking the time. Be well.
Our next question is from Bob Velen at USA Today. Bob?
Hey, Floyd, how you doing?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, listen, you're 37 now, and I mean, there's not a person out there who would think that you've slowed down in the least. I mean, you might even be better than you were 10 years ago. But my question is boxing any more or less important in your life now than it was, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
Well, boxing is always is very, very important to me and always will be. Because this has put me in a position to have everything that I have. This has put me in a position to be able to secure my family, you know, and secure myself. So, but it's not just about you know boxing is something that I love and that's all we know is the fight game. So, but you know, I just want to be a part of the sport. So, I want to help this sport live on. I want to help this sport continue to grow. That's what it's about.
Which brings me to my next question. You can't fight forever. Have you been thinking about what you'd like to do in boxing once you hang it up?
Yeah, I want to continue to just help Mayweather Promotions grow. I want to continue to help fighters, and I want to continue to help their sport. Just period. Even if they're not with Mayweather Promotions, I want to continue to keep boxing around. I want boxing to grow. You know, we always looking for the next Floyd Mayweather. So we, after this fight, I had three more fights, and then we had to be looking for the next Floyd Mayweather. We had to be looking for the next pay-per-view star. But I think it's you got a lot of guys out there that can replace. I don't know if they can replace Floyd Mayweather, but I think they can become pay-per-view stars. And Canelo is one guy, one of those guys.
Were you impressed by Canelo in his fight against Angulo? Did you see that fight? I mean, that just made your win over him, to me, seem even bigger.
Canelo looked unbelievable against, you know, Angulo. You know, I mean, I was like, this guy, he's back. What else can I say? The only thing I can say is he's back.
I covered the Bernard Hopkins fight this weekend, and he talked about, you know, sometime before he retires, possibly fighting you. Obviously, he's a lot bigger than you. Have you ever entertained that thought?
I think everybody's trying to, hit the jackpot and fight Floyd Mayweather from heavyweight all the way down to flyweight. I think Bernard Hopkins, the other night, I didn't get to see the fight. You know, I think I caught the first two rounds. Because I really want to watch Kid Chocolate, because he's originally from Grand Rapids, Michigan. So I wanted to root Kid Chocolate on, because I know he's a fan of mine, and you know he came up watching me. But and I watched the first couple rounds, and I thought that Bernard Hopkins was losing the fight, I guess. And then I went for a 6 mile run. So I guess when I was out doing my 6 mile run, I guess he picked the pace up, and I guess he was victorious, you know. But I can't take nothing away from Bernard Hopkins. He's a legend. He's a legend like myself. And the highest, you know, of course, you know, you get your biggest payday when you're facing Floyd Mayweather.
All right, Floyd. Well, thanks a lot, and good luck, and I'll see you next week.
See you. Thank you.
Our next question is from Kevin McRae at Bleacher Report. Kevin.
Hey, thank you guys again for doing this call today. I just want to start out by saying, Floyd, nothing but the best of luck in a safe fight on May 3rd. Obviously, boxing is a tough sport, so I wish you the best of luck and nothing but safety. My question for you, Floyd, to start with is, your last fight in Vegas against Canelo Alvarez, the public perception was obviously a little bit different than going into this one. You know, Canelo was bigger, stronger. You know, he had what people perceived to be as the skill set to finally be the guy who maybe knocked you off in the ring. And people don't have that same type of feeling, I don't think, about Maidana. So my question for you is that, do you worry at all about any sort of a letdown going into this fight after all the hype that surrounded the one?
No, you know, I try to always think positive. You know, we always try to think positive. You know, only thing we can do is dedicate ourselves and work hard and try to get good results. That's the only thing, you know, I can really say. You know, Canelo, at that particular time, you had a fighter in Canelo. You know, he was like 80-something and 0. So that's something, you know, that you rarely see. So that was something everybody wanted to see. And it was more like a chess match. And, you know, I was Bobby Fischer. So far, and then, you know, with this fight, you have a guy that just, a rugged guy that comes straight ahead, you know, with an attitude, you know, I just don't care. And he just dethroned one of the top undefeated fighters. So, like I said before, it's a good matchup.
Do you feel like, to a certain degree, that maybe you've become a little bit of a victim of your own success? And what I mean by that is, you've made so many good and great fighters throughout your career look ordinary when they get in the ring with you. I mean, a guy like Shane Mosley, a Hall of Fame fighter, you know, you made him look ordinary. You know, a guy like Juan Manuel Marquez, another Hall of Fame fighter, you made him look ordinary. So do you think that maybe in the public's perception you don't get a lot of the credit for these fights because, not because you're not fighting good fighters, but because when they get in the ring with you, you're on another level and just make them look ordinary?
It's more like basically I'm dead. Hold on one second. Y'all got to hold on one second. I'm getting ready for the gym. Hold on. Yes. And so, yeah, back to that question you were saying. I think that I don't give my credit that's due, because I think that I make A level and B level fighters look ordinary. So but that comes from, you know, just having a sharp mind and just really, really pushing myself in training, pushing myself very, very hard in training. And then so when it's time to go out there and perform, you know, everything is easy.
All right, I just got one more for you, Floyd, and again, thank you for taking the time. If my question to you is kind of, well, not off topic, but it's about the fight, but if you could take yourself out of your head for a second here and not be Floyd Mayweather and looked at yourself from an outside perspective, how would you approach a fight with Floyd Mayweather? I mean, how would you train and prepare to fight Floyd Mayweather?
I can't really say how I'll fight Floyd Mayweather. I just probably try to take I don't really know. I'll probably take a young Floyd Mayweather and put him in there. I don't know. I can't really say. You know, I just go out there. I think it's just second nature to me. I go out there. This is what I've done my whole life. You know, I was born to be a fighter. You know, I was born to be a fighter, but alone, you know, when I was young, I always loved to entertain. You know, I always loved, you know, to promote. I'm saying from, you know, when we done house parties when we were young teenagers, 13, 14, I know how to promote and make sure that the party was packed. So, you know, promotion has always, you know, has always been something I was very, very strong in. But, you know, now that we have our own company, I'm very, very happy with that. But how would I fight Floyd Mayweather? I really don't know. I really can't say.
All right, great. Thanks again for your time, Floyd. Good luck to you, and have a safe fight on the 3rd.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have two more questions, Floyd.
All right.
Our next question is from Edward Cowich with OI.
Yes. Hi, Floyd. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Floyd, how important is for your legacy to retire undefeated? And who do you think has been the closest? What fighter has been the closest to defeating you?
Like I said before, it's about being a smart business. And I don't go into a fight thinking about losing. You know, it's about winning in life. The most important thing is winning in life. I don't really think about losing in the ring. I think about winning in life, just period. Far as what guy, you know, a lot of times people say about the Castillo first fight, but, you know, in the Castillo first fight, I wasn't just fighting Castillo. I was fighting Larry Merchant. So, you know, when he's commentating, persuading everybody to look at the fight a certain way. Whereas I was hurting the fight, I'm saying my arm was hurting the fight, but there's no excuses. I know I won, and I'm not just saying it just to say it. I know deep in my heart I won. That's why if I feel like I didn't win, I wouldn't have fought him in a rematch. The same way I did it the first time I came back and did it the same way the second time. Emmanuel Augustus, but when I fought him, he was Emmanuel Burton. He was probably by far, well-rounded and one of my toughest opponents, and he was a guy that didn't have his record didn't reflect how he fought, because normally he takes fights on a week notice, a 2 week notice, or a 4 or 5 day notice, whereas with me he had a chance to go to training camp and prepare. So, Emmanuel Augusta was a very, very, very tough opponent that I faced, but you know we got the job done. And it's not about winning. It's not about winning inside the ring. It's about winning outside the ring. You know, the only thing I care about winning outside the ring is more important than winning inside the ring.
And the other question, Floyd, is in the last hours, there have been a lot of rumors about a Pacquiao-Canelo fight. Are you disappointed that Pacquiao is willing to fight Canelo instead of you in a very big fight?
Well, I know Canelo's. I don't think Pacquiao and Canelo is going to fight. I mean, me personally, I don't think so. But if that fight was to happen, I'll choose Canelo to win. I don't think the fight is going to happen.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay, and our last question is from Michael Wallace at ESPN. Michael.
Yeah, Floyd, thanks a lot for hanging in there with us on this conference call. I'm going to take you to a different arena a little bit. I cover the NBA for ESPN, and At the beginning of the regular season, you made a trip to Miami and had a chance to address the Heat during practice. I wanted to talk to you and see what you remembered from your message to them, and a lot of their players still talk about what you told them and how it's motivated them going into these playoffs.
I just talked to LeBron and told him, you know, I told all the players, you know, each year is going to get tough. Each year is going to get tougher. Each year is going to get rougher. So, you know, you guys have to apply yourself like champions. I mean, you guys have to work harder. I say, because every time anything gets tougher and rough, you got to work harder. There's no difference for me in my position. You know, before I became, you know, to get to the championship, I worked hard. Now that I've got it and I've been at the top so long, each fight I got to work harder and harder to stay in this position. So that's basically what I was speaking about to the players.
Do you see any similarities between, you know, you staying on top of your game for so many years and these guys trying to three-peat and win three straight championships?
Oh, man, there's a lot of similarities, but it's different also because these guys are a team to where with me it's a one-on-one battle to where if the team loses, you got to realize still you know, LeBron's hands gonna have to take all the slack to where it's no different from a fighter. If I lose, if I say some similarities, where it's a team sport, but if they lose, one guy's gonna take all one guy has to deal with all the criticism. To where, like with me, with what I'm doing, of course I have a team. I have somebody that's going out there and instructing me. I have a team, but still it's a one-on-one sport. And you know, when something happens, you know, everything's gonna fall back on me. Same way.
Mm-hmm. And lastly for me, the one part of the story that they told was that you mentioned taking that shot from Sugar Shane and, you know, how it sort of rocked you and that they were going to probably get rocked during the course of a season. But the important thing was to come out. If you're a true champion, you're going to come out on your feet and withstand all the criticism, withstand all the pressure and all of that kind of thing. Do you remember that part of it?
I told him, like, these guys are gunning for you. These guys are going to go for you, you know. Even though you guys wasn't number one on the East this year, but you're still the world champions, and people are coming for that throne. So just like Canelo, he fought me one way. That doesn't mean McDonald's going to fight me the same way Canelo fought me. So uh-huh. You know, like I said before, I got, you know, you got to make adjustments and be able to adapt to any style.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Thank you so much, man. Good luck with the fight.
Okay, that was our last question. If we want to, Leonard.
You go ahead and do it. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm running late. I got to go to the gym.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Floyd. Leonard, would you like to wrap it up?
I would just like to thank everyone for joining us on the call today. The moment. We're just 10 days away, and we look forward to everyone coming to support our event.
Okay, terrific. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And, again, Fight Week schedule's coming soon, and we'll have a really great Fight Week. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
This will conclude our conference. Thank you for joining us today.